Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
There's two things before you're seated that I want to thank you for as a church. My daughter and son-in-law, what happened?
I'm going to tie your shoe.
Oh, he's multiply talented. That's amazing. Your pastor, folks, give him a hand. Wow, thank you. I think that was doubly significant today. If I had tripped, I'd broken another arm. I wouldn't have any more arms to break. You know, so it's like, thank you. So I wanted to say thank you. My daughter and son-in-law planted a church in February of this year. And this church, you folks, had a part in that. You sent a seed offering to help us get started. So I just wanted to say on their behalf, thank you. On behalf of our family, thank you. On behalf of Hosanna Woodlands. Hosanna Woodlands, that's the name of the church. And then the second thing I wanted to thank you for, you know, is T-Bone traveled with me for 2 or 3 years all over Latin America. And I just wanted to say thank you for allowing me the privilege of going through that tribulation and that trial. You know, God taught me a lot through, I'm being funny. T-Bone is a great blessing. He's been such a huge blessing to all of Latin America. It's so much fun traveling with T-Bone. So thank you, The Rock, for letting us take T-Bone all over Latin America. All right. So just before you're seated, just tell somebody they're good looking. Even if it's by faith, just say, hey, you look really great today. And then you can have a seat. So as your pastor was telling you, my mom and dad, they met in Bible college. My mother was the oldest of 9 children. She was a pastor's daughter. And my dad, my biological dad, was a missionary kid who grew up in a town called Durango in Mexico. And they met at Bible college and they got married. My older brother was born, then I was born. So then my parents took me to Mexico when I was 1 month old. So that's how I ended up in Mexico. So even though I have a gringo exterior, if you were to peel back, there's nothing but beans and tortillas and nopales, enchiladas, you know what I'm saying? And so that's how that happened. When my younger brother was born, he was only 7 months old when my dad was killed for the cause of Christ. Persecution was a real thing back in the 60s, and I have the privilege of being the son of a martyr for the sake of Christ. So that's something I'm very proud of, my heritage. My dad gave his life for Jesus. And so my mother was a widow for about 3 years, and I remember those years really well because it was all these guys that would come around, you know, to court my mom, because she was a good-looking woman, you know, and with 3 wonderful boys. And why do you laugh? That hurts me. So we loved that because we got a lot of attention. They would bring us presents to try to get on my mother's good side, you know. And one day, a group of missionaries came to our house, and one of those missionaries was from a little town called Shreveport, Louisiana. He showed up that night, and he never left. And he became my dad for 39 years. His name was Frank, and my dad, Frank, taught me the love of the word, love of the body of Christ, a great missionary. Then he passed away and went on to be with Jesus. Well, about 2 years ago, my mother went home to be with the Lord. And so, you know, she's in heaven now with both of her husbands. I don't know how that works, but I sure wish I could have been there when she showed up, you know, and the first husband comes running out, hey, and then the second one, hey, and so that's a little bit about my story. Did you know that the minute you were conceived, the instant you were conceived, there were lots of decisions that happened right at that moment. For example, the instant you were conceived, the color of your eyes was decided. The instant you were conceived, the size of your nose and of your ears was decided. At conception, the color of your hair was decided. Now, some people have messed with that decision so many times, they don't even remember what that original decision was. But at the minute you were conceived, the amount of hair that you would have or eventually not have was decided. You know, the Bible says he counts all of the hairs on our head. In some of our cases, he's erasing all of the time, right? Say amen, brother, right down here on the front row. I can see the Lord's been erasing a lot lately over there. There's so many things that happened at conception. Now, one of the things that happened at your conception was God gave us a gift. He gave each of us a gift that he knew we would need to be able to live an overcoming life. Are you ready to find out what that gift was? The gift he gave you at conception is called the joy of the Lord. He gave you joy because he knew that you and I would need joy to be able to make it through life. He knew that the enemy would try his best to steal that joy away from you. And in fact, in many cases, the enemy has stolen that joy from many of us, and we go through life with no joy, no happiness. You think about this for a minute. When a baby's born, one of their very first expressions is joy. They laugh, they giggle. That happened at conception. God knew that you would need joy, but life has a way of sucking joy out of us. Now the devil, he doesn't want you joyful because he knows what the scripture says about joy. He knows that the scripture says that the joy of the Lord will give you strength. Say this out loud with me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, some of you need joy in your life. Several years ago, I got to thinking, there are so many Christians who are just sad and pathetic and just hanging on till Jesus comes. And they're like, oh, Jesus, would you come soon? You know, that's not the way the Lord wants you to live. He wants you to live a joyful, happy, abundant life. And today, I'm going to help you figure out how to hang on to your joy. Now, the devil is real smart how to steal the joy from you. He knows that if you have joy, you're going to be healthy. He knows that if you're joyful, you're going to be strong. Strong Christians are joyful Christians. He knows that if you're going through a trial or a tribulation and you have the joy of the Lord, there's 100% chance you're going to make it through that trial and that tribulation. And he doesn't want you happy. He's not happy that you came to church today. Looked at your Instagram, said, oh, look, the Garcias, they went back to church. Look, isn't that wonderful? No, he's not happy that you're here. Oh, you think the devil doesn't check out your Instagram? You better be careful what you're posting. He's looking at it all the time, right? He's not happy that you're here this morning because he wants to steal your joy away from you. But the joy of the Lord is going to give you strength. And today I'm going to help you to learn how to keep the joy of the Lord. To not let the devil steal your joy away from you. You know, there are so many things that actually even medical science is learning about joy and happiness that are beneficial to our health. For example, they say that when we laugh, one of those really deep belly laughs that's born right down here in your spirit. You know, your spirit's right around in here. Did y'all know that? That's why some of us are more spiritual than other of us. Say amen, Pastor Alvarado. Some of us are more spiritual than other. They say that when you laugh, one of those deep belly laughs, it throws into your body something that's called endorphins. How many of you have heard this word? Endorphins. And endorphins have a way of making you feel like everything's going to be okay. It brings hope. Endorphins bring hope. Endorphins bring happiness. Literally, it's an analgesic. In other words, it takes pain away. Laughter can take pain away. Some people need to stop taking so much Tylenol and just laugh a little while. You know, God, when he put laughter inside of us, he knew the strength that we would get from it. In fact, God is so serious about bringing laughter to our families that to every family, he's given at least one comedian. Think about it for a minute. You'll think of who it is. Oh, yeah, cousin so-and-so. Or la tía María, you know? La que tiene barba y bigotes. That's... Now, if you can't think of who the family joker is, it's because it's you. Right? God is so serious about us laughing that he's put family comedians in every one of our families. And you know why? When it gets tough sometimes, instead of shutting that comedian up, you need to give him a microphone, give him a little soapbox, let him get up and make us laugh, because laughter will get you through tough times in life. The joy of the Lord will become your strength. I think it's interesting, this scripture in Psalms, it says, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you've broken may rejoice. And what that literally means is that God will restore the bones that are broken, and you will laugh again. You will make joy again in your life. And it has to be something you hear. Joy is something you hear. Like, I remember this one guy, he's like, had this frown on his face, and deep's like, a guy asked him, do you have the joy of the Lord? And he says, yeah, my joy is deep down. I remember thinking, your joy's too deep, bro. Your joy's got to be seen. Your joy's got to be heard. The joy of the Lord is something that is expressed on the faces of those of us who love Jesus and know him as our Lord and Savior. Is anybody in here got a little bit of joy this morning? Now, the enemy will try everything he can to steal that joy away from you. He uses people. Boy, the amen over there is like some therapy needed over that section over that. You know, just, amen, amen. You know, sometimes people will come up and say stuff to you. They were well-intentioned. Like for example, they'll come and say, did you do something to your hair? And you're like, no. And there went the joy of the Lord. I know, like some wives, you know, their husband's about to walk out the door. Are you wearing that today? Yeah, I was thinking about it. There went the joy of the Lord. Right? Some of you, don't say amen too loud, men. You know, you might lose the joy of the Lord again. The enemy uses circumstances. Excuse me. Sometimes you'll read the news, and there goes the joy of the Lord. The devil can use traffic. I don't know how you guys do it here in Southern California. Your traffic is like another whole level. It's like, have you ever lost the joy of the Lord? I don't even have to ask that question. Of course you've lost the joy of the Lord in the traffic sometimes. You know, the other day, I was in traffic, and I'm driving along, and I'm listening to some great praise and worship music, like, I don't know, Marcos Witt or somebody like that, you know, driving along. And all of a sudden, I hear somebody honking behind me, and I'm like, what did I do? I don't even know what I did. And then I thought, oh, maybe they recognize me. Because I am Marcos Witt, you know? But I would soon find out, no, they didn't recognize me, because he passed me on the right-hand side and he waved at me with one finger. Have you ever been waved at with one finger? I'd never been waved at with one finger. And I did what every good Christian should do when he walked by. I said, God bless you, man, and your mama too. No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I didn't. I thought that, though. Y tu abuela también. I almost said that, young. Almost. Or what about, like, I know my wife, she's an amazing woman of God, but she's technologically challenged. Like, and I always, because she'll be over there on one of her devices, and this is my cue when I start hearing this. Oh, I know what's going on. I'm like, well, what's going on, babe? Well, I'm pushing this button, and I'm telling it to do this, but it doesn't do what I tell it to do. I'm like, here, let me have it. And I go, click, 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 click. There you go. How do you know this stuff? I said, I'm smart. So look who I married. Thank you. Some of you, that'll dawn on you a little bit later how good that comment was. Or how about in the store? How many of you been to a Walmart? You have your bag full, your cart full of stuff, and you come up and there are literally 50 cash registers, but only 3 of them are working. Anybody in here? There went the joy of the Lord, right? There's so many opportunities for the joy of the Lord to leave us that we have to work at it. So I'm going to give you 3 ways that you can hang on to the joy of the Lord. Are you interested in this subject this morning? Good, because that's what I'm going to talk about. 3 ways. We're going to write them down. Ready? Number 1, remember where God's brought you from. Remember where God has brought you from. Now, write down Psalms 103, verse 2. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Say those 2 words out with me, forget not. Forget not. Now, some of us, all we have to do is remember just a little bit about how good God has been to us, and the joy of the Lord is going to come back to our life. All we have to do is think back just a little bit about where we used to be and where we are today and how good God's been to us along the way, and the joy of the Lord is going to come right back. Somebody give me an amen out there. You see, I'm looking at people in here this morning, and I'm looking at people who've been changed, who've been transformed. Your families have been liberated from horrible situations. There are some of you in here this morning that if it hadn't been for the grace of God, you would have ended up in jail. You would have ended up in the hospital. Your family would have ended up in divorce court. But God showed up just in time. He healed your family. He healed your marriage. He healed your finances. He healed your body. I'm preaching really good. God has been good to some people here today. God's been good to some of you up in there today. God's been good to you up in here today. When you start remembering, when you start thinking on where you used to be and where you are today, the joy of the Lord's going to come back to your life. Amen. Did any of you ever have to wear hand-me-downs? See, that's my story. When my mom ended up being a widow, she was only 24 years old when she was widowed the first time. Here's a lady that was widowed 2 times. She was an amazing woman of God. So when she remarried, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. So when my mother bought a pair of blue jeans, it was for all three boys. Now, the oldest son, he's the one who got them brand new. Because that's what they would size him first. And then we'd get the second one, and then my younger brother would get the third one, right? And then, and so one day something really sad happened in my life. My younger brother got taller than me. Guess what that meant? That meant that the hand-me-downs came to me third generation. Now, I'm talking to you guys about the early 70s, roughly. We didn't wear holes in our jeans in the early 70s. Mamas wouldn't let people leave the house with holes in any part of their clothes. Mamas would go buy patches. See, the laughter is telling me some of you had the same mama I did. She'd go buy these patches that she would put on with irons, right? Now, these weren't nice, little, discreet patches. No. These were big, honking, brown, leather patches that she would iron on to the blue jeans. What color are blue jeans? Blue. These were brown patches. Are you getting the picture here? Now these patches started up about right around in here, and they would end all the way down here. And she would put one on this knee, one on that knee, one on this cheek, and one on the other. There was no way to hide these patches. I would go to school, people would make fun of me because it wasn't fashionable to wear patches. Today, you can go to Nordstrom and buy a brand new pair of jeans with the holes already built into them. I saw several of them this morning walking around. I used to ask myself, why wasn't that the fashion when I was 10 years old? Would have saved myself a lot of therapy, psychological anguish. But look at me now. Take a look at me now. Come on. Look at yourself in the mirror. I'm looking at people who are blessed in here. I don't see anybody dying of hunger, starving. There ain't nobody starving up in here. In fact, two or three of us should probably fast and pray a little bit, because God's been good to somebody in this house. I'm looking at people that are blessed. I'm looking at people that are overcomer. I'm looking at people that are happy. I'm looking at people that have been blessed beyond measure. I look at myself sometimes, I go, whoa, I can't stand it how good looking I am. I don't wear my brother's jeans anymore. Thank God. When you start thinking about where God's brought you from, do you remember the time where you just needed a few more pennies to buy milk for the baby, and somehow God was there? I said, God's been good to us. Yeah. Do you remember the time when you don't know how you made it, but you got your bills paid? You know, the Bible says that your children will never beg for bread. There will always be bread on your table. Somebody needs to get excited and give him a thank you clap. Give him a thank you clap this morning. Forget not all of his benefits. Forget not where he's brought us from. Moms and dads, every now and then, you should gather your children around the table and tell the story of your family, how you got to where you are today, and remind your children, we had it tough, but God made us come through it without a scratch. You need to remind your kids that it has been God's blessings that's got us to where we are today. Somebody lift a hand to the sky. Hopefully you put deodorant on this morning as you lift your hand to the sky and you say, thank you, Lord, that you've never left me. You've never forsaken me. You've always taken care of me. Thank you for taking care of my family. Thank you for health. Thank you for healing. Thank you for wholeness. Thank you for finances. Thank you for abundance. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for grace. Somebody begin to thank Jesus this morning for how good he's been to us. Is this good? Is this good? Thank you, Lord. Number two. What was number one? Remember where God's brought you from. Number two. Remember where you are going. Folks, well, write it down first and I'll tell you. Remember where you're going. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is not my home. I don't think anybody heard me in here. This world is not my home. We are just pilgrims passing through. Don't make this your permanent destination. Who wants to live here? I'm going to live in glory. I'm going to go to that place that he's been preparing for me. He says, I'm going to go to my Father's house, and in my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare one for you. 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 There are mansions waiting for us in heaven. Somebody can get excited about that today when you remember this world is isn't my home. My sights are on heaven above. Woo! Man, I'm preaching myself happy, Pastor Dan. So many people get in trouble because they put their eyes on earthly things. You know, you drove up one day and the Garcias next door, they bought a brand new Ford F-350. Sparkling red, loud stereo. You hear it every morning when they leave to work. And you walk in, your wife said, did you see the Garcia's new pickup truck? See, it used to be keeping up with the Joneses, now it's keeping up with the Garcia's. And you tell your wife, yeah, I was trying not to see it. And we get ourselves into trouble when we start comparing ourselves. Well, my car isn't as nice as the Garcia's. I think I need to go get myself a new car. And we end up a lot of times in debt, buying stuff we don't even need, with money we don't even have, to impress people we don't even know. We're driving around. You know what else came with the Garcia's F-350? A payment book. Bigger than the truck itself. Right? There went your joy. Because we're looking at things of this earth. We're comparing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't like the streets that you're driving around on in San Bernardino, no problem. You're going to be walking on streets of gold when you get to heaven. If you don't like the house you're living in down here on earth, no problem, because he's building you a mansion in the heavenly skies where you're going to dwell forever at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. His radiant beauty shining out. There's going to be orchestras, and there's going to be choirs, and there's going to be body surfing and downhill skiing in heaven. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. I'm going to be a big part of it. I'm going to sing in the orchestra choirs. I'm going to play in the orchestral or in the heavenly orchestras. What I'm saying, I'm going to enjoy myself when I'm in heaven. I sure hope you're making plans to go. So many people checking their Instagram to see what somebody else has. Oh, did you see Chloe's got a new hairdo? You know who Chloe is. Don't act all sanctimonious. People looking. You know what's amazing about social media? It's probably one of the most fake things there are on earth, because it's people trying to sell you an image that isn't even true. Those people on Instagram who are all made up and real pretty, trying to sell you a lifestyle, let me tell you, they get belly aches just like you do. They get headaches just like you. They get colds just like you do. They get diarrhea just like you do. Oh, pastor, you're going to talk about diarrhea in church? Well, why not? We've all had it. In fact, if statistics are true, somebody's got it right now. And you're just waiting for me to finish. To go make some justice on the white throne of God back there in the restroom. Come on. You don't have to say amen. Please don't say amen. We don't want to know who you are. We're comparing ourselves with other people, and that's what'll steal the joy from you. You know, I thank God for His blessings in my life. You know, I was remembering this old beat up car I had. I don't know what I was thinking. I bought this old VW Beetle. I mean, it had leprosy. It was ugly, had rust all over it, you know. The driver's side door wouldn't even close. I had to coordinate my right-hand turns, because every time I would take a right-hand turn, that door would swing open, right? I had to, so I'd grab the door with my left hand. It was a stick shift, so I have to shift and then grab the thing, make the turn, hold on to the door, pray to God it wouldn't dump me out into the pavement. You know, the floorboard was full of rust. I could see all the way through the pavement. In fact, that's how I knew I was in the lane, because I could see the lines going by through the floorboard. Oh, man. I look at what I drive today. It's not new. In fact, it's 16 years old. But I love my car. Because God's been good to me. You know what I like most about my car? It don't have a payment book with it. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. He's been good to you. Just when you think you got to go out and buy stuff to make you happy, no. Put your eyes on heavenly things and realize that our heavenly reward is greater than anything we could ever experience here on this earth. So good. Aren't I preaching good, Pastor Dan? Yes. Number three. So what was number one? What's number two? Here we go. Number three, this is it. Then we're all going to go eat tacos or something. Number three. You ready? Worship Him, comma, in spite of your circumstances. Oh, my goodness. Worship Him, comma, in spite of your circumstances. So good. Now, won't you write it down? I want you to look up here at me real quick. If there were one principle that I could somehow or another even physically feed you, like in a capsule or a spoonful or something, it would be this one. Because believers who understand and practice this principle will take their spiritual life to a whole brand new level. You will experience a freedom like you've never experienced before when you understand and practice this principle. This is one of those principles that I can actually stand up here and tell you that if you practice this, your life will change with a money back guarantee. I guarantee it, or I'll give you your money back. That's how powerful this principle is. People who understand that we worship God not because of what he gives us, that we worship him not because he's good to us, that we worship him not because he provides for us, but we worship him because he's worthy to be praised. We worship him because he's God. We worship him because he's seated on an everlasting throne of glory and justice. If you're gonna clap, give me a clap this morning. We worship him because he's worthy to be worshiped. He's worthy of all praise. This will take your spiritual life to a brand new dimension that you've never experienced, and you'll never lose the joy of the Lord. This is the principle that Paul and Silas lived by when they were in jail, beat up, in the worst possible condition, and they decided to sing in jail. Beat up! And they start singing. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing. All the other prisoners are, what's going on? They're having a praise and worship service back there. God took that so seriously. He got so excited about it. He reached down to give Paul and Silas a hug, and the jail got in the way, so he busted them all out of jail. That was good. When you learn how to worship him in spite of your circumstances, you'll never lose your joy again. Look at this scripture, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Hang on just a minute, hang on. Why is he talking about, you know, the field and the fig trees and the olives and the flock and the, well, what you have to understand is this is an agrarian society. This is an agrarian person. He lived off of cattle and agriculture. So what literally he's saying is, when I have no business, I have nothing to buy, nothing to sell, I have no goods or services, I have nothing in my pantry, I have nothing in my fridge, there's nothing in accounts receivable, and there's only accounts payable. This is what he's saying. When it's going the worst possible way for me, now look at the next scripture. Yet. Say that word with me. Yet. I didn't say it with some conviction. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, I like his choice of words. I will. You see, it's a will. It's a decision. It's not a feeling. I will decide. It's not something, oh, I think I'll worship God because I feel like it. No, I'll worship God even when I don't feel like it. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I decide to worship him. No matter how bad or how good it's going, I will. Say with me, I will. I will worship him in the midst of the worst possible day of my life. I'll still worship him because it's a decision. It's not a feeling. It's amazing how many people said, well, I just don't feel like worshiping God. You know what? Sometimes I don't feel like paying my light bill. You see light bills show up at people's houses, and you got dads turning off lights everywhere. Who left all these lights on? You're telling your daughters and your women, stop blow drying your hair so much. Why are you blow drying your hair so much? Right? But we've learned to pay the light bill. Because we know if we don't pay, we're not going to get the service. I've learned to worship God in spite of what I might be feeling. I've learned to worship God in spite of what I might be going through, because he's worthy. Shout this word out with me. Worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.